And welcome to the Mesa City Council meeting for Wednesday, July 8th, 2009. I'm Mayor Scott Smith, and as always, it's an honor and privilege for me to be able to conduct this meeting. We'll begin tonight's meeting by having Pastor Dave Lane from the New Life Assembly of God give us our invocation. He'll be followed by Scout Austin Ellsworth from Troop 957, who will lead us in the Pledge of Allegiance. Please rise for the invocation and the pledge.
Most gracious Heavenly Father, creator of heaven and earth, the one true God, we look to you tonight for wisdom, for guidance, and I ask you, Lord, to shower your blessings upon our city, upon our mayor, and our city council. I pray, Father, that they will look to you this evening for wisdom for every decision they make. We thank you for the blessings that you have bestowed upon us, and may we never take them for granted, but realize that they come from your hand. We praise you together. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Please join me in the Pledge of Allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. Please be seated. The first item on our agenda tonight is to hear a presentation by the Mesa United Way. Ms. Carol McCormack.
Good afternoon, Mayor Smith and Vice Mayor Jones and the rest of council members. My name is Carol McCormack, and I am the president of Mesa United Way, and I'm just so delighted to have the opportunity to be here with you today. The Mesa United Way's responsibility is to raise funds and provide services for our children, our elderly, our disabled citizens, and those who are most vulnerable and poor in the city of Mesa. And we do that by having an annual United Way campaign. During this campaign, we have lots of employee campaign leaders throughout the city who work in their companies to ensure that their fellow employees are asked to donate and learn about United Way and are given the opportunity to participate in this campaign. And as you can imagine, it's a really tough job. The employees don't get anything for it. Their reward is a desk piled up with all of the work that they have yet to do at the end of the day because they were helping us with this campaign. But the other reward is the grateful heart of the many citizens whom they help. And this year, we have something unusual that happened when we went through all of the various campaign employee coordinators and leaders throughout the city of Mesa. It really occurred to us that the shining star of the entire group was here at the city of Mesa. And your employee, Christine Young, has won our Employee Campaign Leader of the Year Award. And we are so delighted to take this opportunity to present that to her in person. So Christine, would you please come up? I can't tell you how grateful we are to people like Christine. The city employees here are amazing. They do a great job for our city, and it is just so evident how much they care about our citizens by how much they contribute into the campaign. And they contributed over $200,000 this year, and I think that's very significant, and we are just, as I said, so very grateful. Thank you for the time, Mayor.
Thanks, Carol. And Christine, thank you so very much, and congratulations. And I'd like to echo what Carol has said. In the 13-plus months that I've formally been involved with the city, I've never ceased to be amazed by the quality of employees we have here with the city of Mesa and how much they do really care for our community. And with my previous association with the Mesa United Way, how much they care and how we have great people in this community. And I think that it's something that in many ways we take for granted, Mesa is very unique in many ways, and one of the ways is just the amount of giving that goes on in our community and the amount of effort that people put forth to serve others. And I know a lot of other communities have people who do that. Volunteerism is rampant throughout the country, but Mesa's special. And we do some things that go beyond what I think others do. And it's efforts like Christine has given that demonstrate that. So thank you very much to both of you. Appreciate it. Okay, the next item on the agenda is to take action on all the consent agenda items. Kevin Christopher will read in the consent agenda.
Good evening. All citizens are permitted and encouraged to speak on agenda items. If you're interested in speaking on an agenda item, please fill out a blue card in the back of the room and give it to the city clerk. When the council considers the item, you'll be called to the podium to provide your comments. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda. All items listed with an asterisk will be considered as a group by the city council and will be enacted with one motion. There will be no separate discussion of these items unless a council member or a citizen requests, in which event the item will be removed from the consent agenda and considered as a separate item. If a citizen wants an item removed from the consent agenda, a blue card must be completed and given to the city clerk prior to the council's vote on the consent agenda. Item 2, approval of minutes of previous meetings as written. Item 3, take action on the following liquor license applications. Item 3A, Trader Joe's, 2050 East Baseline Road. Item 3B, Circle K, 1210 South Higley Road. Item 3C, Circle K, 1945 South Stapley Drive. Item 3D, Circle K, 1961 South Val Vista Drive. Item 3E, Circle K, 1203 South Power Road. Item 3F, Circle K, 1153 South Signal Butte Road. Item 3G, Moe's on the Green Sports Grill, 801 South Power Road, Suite 101. Item 4A, act on contract to purchase early intervention database software for the Police Department Internal Affairs, $46,675.20. This is fully funded from the Asset Forfeiture RICO funds. Item 4B, act on contract to purchase a replacement forklift for the Water Resources Department. Item 4C, act on contract for motorcycle maintenance and repair services for the Police Department. Item 4D, act on contract to expand Topaz radio coverage, $293,329.76. This is fully funded from public safety bonds with partial reimbursement from TRWC members. Item 4E, act on contract to purchase replacement microwave network switches and edge routers for the Communications Department, $920,172. This is fully funded from a public safety bond. Item 4F, act on contract to relocate equipment to Hermosa Vista Sulfide Station, $338,877. Funding available in the adopted fiscal year 09-10 Wastewater Capital Bond Program. Item 4G, act on contract to convert electrical circuit 101 underground, $117,021.03. Funding's available in the adopted fiscal year 09-10 Electrical Bond Capital Program. Item 5A, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute a contract to accept grant funds of $34,064 for officer assigned to Arizona's Impaired Driving Enforcement Program for 3.5 months. Item 5B, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute a memorandum of understanding to accept grant funds of $253,803 to be used to purchase and install a document management system for the police department. Item 5C, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute a memorandum of understanding to accept grant funds in the amount of $15,572 per officer assigned to the U.S. Marshals Service District Fugitive Apprehension Task Force. Item 5D, act on resolution levying the amount to be raised by a secondary property tax levy and the rate upon each $100 of the assessed valuation of property subject to taxation within the city of Mesa for the fiscal year ending June 30th, 2010. Item 5E, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute an amendment to an intergovernmental agreement between the Arizona Department of Transportation and the city of Mesa for the construction of a shared-use path along the Consolidated Canal from East 8th Street to East Main Street, funding by the American Recovery and Reinvestment Act. Item 5F, act on resolution approving and authorizing the city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Maricopa Association of Governments and the Arizona Department of Transportation for the advancement of design and right-of-way acquisition on Gateway Freeway, State Route 802. Item 6A, act on ordinance Z09-13, 32 and 42 South Center Street, council use permit to allow the expansion of the existing Heritage Academy Charter School. Item 6B, act to approve the First Amendment to the non-exclusive 2003 cable television renewal license with Cox Comm Incorporated and authorizing the city manager to sign the amendment. Item 6C, adopting and authorizing the city manager to execute an agreement that incorporates all provisions contained in the existing Southwest Gas franchise until November 2, 2010. Item 7A, introduction of the following ordinance and setting August 24, 2009 as the date of the public hearing on this ordinance, repealing Title 6, Chapters 12 and 19 to the Mesa City Code in its entirety, and adopting a new Title 6, Chapter 12 relating to offensive, excessive, and prohibited noises. Item 10A, act on subdivision plat 12, 42 East McKellips Road, Stapley and McKellips Plaza condominiums. Mayor and council members, these are the items on the consent agenda.
Thank you, Kevin. Does any council member wish to remove an item from the consent agenda? We have one request from the audience to remove item 5F. 5F from the consent agenda. Ms. Crockett, are there any other requests from the public?
No other requests, Mayor.
Okay. We have a motion to approve the consent agenda from Vice Mayor Jones, a second from Councilmember Summers. Any discussion at all? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 on the affirmative. The consent agenda is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 5F, approving and authorizing the city manager to execute an intergovernmental agreement with the Maricopa Association of Governments and the Arizona Department of Transportation for the advancement of design and right-of-way acquisition on Gateway Freeway State Route 802. We have a request to speak from Mr. Mark Young of the town of Queen Creek. Mr. Young.
Good evening, Mayor and Council. For the record, my name is Mark Young. I'm the intergovernmental liaison with the town of Queen Creek. We're here tonight in our support of this project. This is a project that we've had several years of discussion between the town of Queen Creek and the city of Mesa. And any advancement on this particular project is something that is going to benefit both the town of Queen Creek, its residents, and the residents of the city of Mesa, as well as the unofficial 80,000 Santan Village members that are in there. So anything we can do to help support you in your efforts, we'd be more than willing to come to the table with. So thank you very much.
Thank you. Probably the first thing we can do is to call it Santan Valley. Instead of Santan Village, I was rightfully chastised because I forgot to put the valley on the back of it the other day.
Oh, we got concerned because we were hearing Queen Creek Heights was one of the top voters. So.
Would that make you Queen Creek Lowe's down where you live?
No.
Okay.
Probably somewhere along the line, probably.
All right. Well, thank you very much.
Thank you.
There goes our goodwill.
We have a motion to approve by Councilmember Richens, a second by Councilmember Summers. Any discussion? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative, and motion item 5F is approved. The next item on the agenda is item 8, which is to discuss, take public comment, and take action on the following minor general plan amendment, development agreement, and zoning case. This case has been continued from the previous meeting. This is 8A, GP minor 0903, and we'll begin with, this is the public hearing portion of it. We'll begin with a presentation by Mr. Gilbert. And following this, just to let you know how we're going to do this, there are three items related to item 8. 8A, which is the public hearing, 8B, which is the take action on the resolution related to the minor general plan amendment, 8C is the development agreement related to the same case, and 8D, which is the zoning case related to this case. We will vote on those three items with a single vote. So, Mr. Gilbert?
Thank you. My name is Paul Gilbert with the law firm of Buse Gilbert, 4800 North Scottsdale Road. I'm here and pleased to be here on behalf of the Baseline Center, which is a 54-acre project located at the intersection of Baseline and Hawes Roads. All right. Thank you. I'm trying to talk and operate this at the same time. It may be a long evening, but I'll try to get through it. Outlined in red is our property. It shows you basically the property that we're discussing. We are proposing three things this evening: a general plan amendment, a development agreement, and a zoning case. The corner of the property up on the right-hand side is not included, but you will be hearing later in the course of the evening a general plan amendment
it
hearing.
Looks like we're zoning the state of Utah.
Yes. Wow, I would
it's
be...
It's a big case.
That was a big case. I've got to up my fee. Thank you for pointing that out.
Something I know you've never been reluctant to do.
That is true. You know me well, Mayor, and I would not deny that. There are some serious constraints to developing this property. It's clearly an infill parcel. It's been conceptually approved for 20-plus years, but nothing has happened. It's a difficult property to develop because it has limited access to the freeway, limited visibility from the freeway, and usually being adjacent to a freeway is a bonus. In this case, it actually works against development of the property because you have the disadvantages of high traffic and adjacency to the freeway, and yet none of the usual attendant benefits that accrue therefrom because of the access and the visibility problems. The general plan is mixed-use residential. That allows, and it's important that we focus on this as we reason together in this application this afternoon, 30% high-density residential with a minimum, that's a minimum, of 15 units per acre. So apartments and multifamily are already permitted under the general plan on this piece of property. Also permitted under the current mixed-use residential designation is light industrial and office and retail. The existing zoning is agriculture, except it has conceptual zoning, which was approved in 1985 for M1, which is light industrial, office, commercial, multifamily, and townhomes, and there's the plan. The proposed general plan designations that we're proposing this evening are one, HDR, which is multi-residential at 15-plus, and then neighborhood commercial for 34 acres. The proposed zoning categories are R4 and C2. The proposed uses for the neighborhood retail, typical users would be bank, restaurants, coffee shop, dry cleaners, a hardware store, fitness gym, and related uses. The garden offices are typical professional offices set in a campus setting where professionals will be invited to have their offices located on the property. We're also proposing a small amount of mini storage, which is tucked away in the corner and off of Baseline Road. The balance of the site will be multifamily community. This gives you an idea of the proposed site plan. Let me quickly point out that this is a conceptual site plan and that one of the stipulations we've agreed to is that we will come back before the City Council with the final site plan so that you will have an opportunity to review and approve the final site plan when it comes forward, and also to ensure that the design guidelines that we'll talk about in detail shortly are adhered to with the new plan.
And Mr. Gilbert,
yes.
When you say that's a stipulation, so in a normal zoning case, a normal situation, you possibly would not have to come back.
That's correct. Normally on the site plan, you just go to the Planning Commission.
That's right. Mr. Wesley, I just want to make sure everyone understands that why that's a difference, that stipulation is different than the normal procedure.
Right.
Normally, you do not have to come back before the council.
That's correct.
Okay.
One of the chief differences between this application and the one that was not successful the last time round is we have design guidelines. Last time we said we would meet with the staff and work out a mutually acceptable set of design guidelines. This time we have done the design guidelines in advance. And importantly, we are stipulating to these design guidelines as part of the zoning and also part of the development agreement. These design guidelines meet or exceed in all areas your normal design guidelines required by the city. We were very careful. We selected someone to draft these design guidelines from the Planning Commission, so we were sure that we were sensitive to the quality issues that Councilman Summers has been so insistent on having in this project. And I don't say that as a point of lament. I think that the quality that has been generated from these design guidelines has been very salutary for the project and has been beneficial. Importantly, we thought we had a good set of design guidelines, and then Mr. Wesley took a hand on them and increased them even further. And I might add that we adopted his comments as well. So you have before you a set of design guidelines that will guide and direct this project that have been thoroughly reviewed by your staff, as well as the neighbors that we have discussed the case with. These design guidelines create a regulatory framework. Every building must design or must adhere to these design guidelines. The overall design objectives, and Mr. Wesley will recognize the wording on these, these come almost word for word from him. They will be required to thoughtfully integrate each land use. We're creating soft edges and transitions within the community. There will be harmonious agricultural landscape and streetscape. And I'm afraid I'm boring council, the vice mayor, so I'm going to speed this up a little bit. Thank you for pointing that out to me. And then a central community space will be created as the heart of the project. Quality standards. We have had it emphasized, and we reciprocate that emphasis to you, that this is a quality project. Included in these design guidelines is no piecemeal development. We're creating a harmonious architectural framework and interconnected pedestrian and open space system. And our commitment to high quality, I think, has been vindicated by the detail and the quality of these design guidelines. We're providing entry and monument signage. Here's some examples of the architecture. And these examples of the architecture are in the design guidelines. Pedestrian pathways and open space. It gives you a feel for what we're talking about there. Now, let me just briefly talk about the development agreement. The development agreement reinforces the design guidelines and creates additional quality standards. We have established procedures for future site plan review, which we've briefly commented on. We have requirements for project phasing, specific requirements for multifamily development, and prohibitions on certain uses. Let me just briefly talk about the multifamily requirements. We're required to have a clubhouse, community gathering area, pedestrian paths, and 15% open space. Mayor, you pointed out that with the site plan, we were going beyond what we would normally be required. So too with the open space. Mesa requires a 10% open space. We're requiring 15. And then you see the other matters that are also incorporated in our multifamily requirements. I would just comment on item 8, that we are agreeing to the SEPTED standards. Now, we also have prohibited and limited uses, which is again vindicating and underscoring our commitment to quality. The following are prohibited uses. When we had our neighborhood meeting, there was a little mix-up, and they thought these were what were permitted, and when they saw the adult bookstore, somebody got pretty excited. But I want to focus on the fact these are prohibited uses. So general auto repair, coin-operated car washes, pawn shops, check cashing stores, tattoos, sorry, Mayor, and massage parlors, adult bookstores and adult uses, swap meets, and thrift and secondhand stores, unless of a high quality, and that was one of the changes that was discussed in your work study session below. I can go into more detail if you would like. So that is, in brief, the presentation. In closing, I would just like to say we are committed to quality. That's what this project is all about. And unlike the previous case, we've given you the tools to ensure that we meet the quality standards that we've been asked to adhere to. For these reasons, then, we hope that you would concur with your Planning Commission, which recommended unanimous approval, and also follow your staff, which is also giving you a strong recommendation for approval on this project. Be happy to answer any further questions that you have, Mayor and Council.
Thank you, Mr. Gilbert. Any questions for Mr. Gilbert? Okay.
Thank you.
We have two requests to speak on in this public hearing. Actually, they're wanting to speak on items B, C, or D, and so we'll take their comments right now. The first one is Ms. Beverly, is it Selvage?
Yes.
Ms. Selvage? And she'll be followed by Pat Chumley. Ms. Selvidge, you have 3 minutes. Thank you very much.
I'm Beverly Selvidge. I live in Sun on Village East, a retirement community of 4,000 people. I'm pleased with the general outlay of the retail and that, but I'm definitely against the high density. The traffic is going to be outrageous. Getting in and out of Baseline is bad now, and I can't see going from medium density to high density in that area. May sound good with swimming pool and so on, but we have houses on the west side that have several children in them, and also further east there's mobile homes. Those children have no place to play. This is going to tie up everything. Of course, a park in that area would have been nice, but I never see anything like that in our area. We've had not too many good things come in there recently. I know the city looks out for retired people, but I think that this is against all sense, all common sense. Like I said, the traffic, 2 to 3 story houses on the people, probably be 2,000 residents if you include the property in the back. I think that's, if you add the two together, it's over 30% multifamily. You can say anything you want about a guarded gate. That can go in a minute if they decide not to have it. All they have to do is disband. But the main thing, I think, is having too many apartments. And why we would want to have high density in that area for apartments is unreal. I mean, think of the people. Of course, you know, even though we're retired, many of us can drive quite well, and some of us are still walking, at least right now. So I'd appreciate you consider what we're going to have to go through for the noise and the traffic. And also on the car wash, they said a coin-operated car wash. Is there a difference between a regular car wash and a coin-operated one? Well, I wouldn't want a car wash, period. So it doesn't make any difference. And I guess that just about covers it for me. And it's thank you very much for hearing us. I want to thank Mr. Gilbert and also Sean Lake for coming to our auditorium and speaking with us. We had a good turnout. We had people there from Monta Vista, which is another retirement community just up the road. So kind of take into consideration we're getting up there in age. Thank you.
Thank you, Ms. Selvidge, and you're doing just fine, I can tell. Ms. Chumley?
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and Councilman. My name is Pat Chumbley. I'm the president of the Homeowners Association in Sunland Village East, located at Baseline and Sossaman, the same community that Ms. Selvidge resides in. I reiterate her concerns, been mainly focusing on the traffic issue. As you know, Baseline is now 4 lanes, and coming out of our community, coming north, is a main drive of Farnsworth Drive. And through that public street, many of our residents south of us, south of Guadalupe, also come up through our community. And it is now causing a congestion problem when they come up through Farnsworth Drive. And at Farnsworth and Baseline, there is a traffic light, and many of them use that as a shortcut now. So it's already becoming a problem. When this additional population moves in, there'll be that many more people who will not have access to the 202. As the attorney mentioned, there's limited access to the 202. There's access to 202 going south, but not north. So all of those people will be coming onto Baseline, coming over, meaning west, to Sossaman to get on Highway 60. And that is a major volume of additional traffic that we will be contending with. Even with their planned light, traffic light on Hawes and Baseline, that will not reduce the traffic. That'll just back traffic up more. So with our retired residents who already have somewhat of a driving challenge many times, we're concerned about the increase in traffic. So that's one of our main contentions here, representing our community. Also, I would like to quote from the proposed plan, item 1.5 under the construction. It says development of non-residential improvements. A minimum of 33.4 acres of land with a minimum of 300,000 square feet of structures for non-residential uses, just as the attorney described. Minimum is fine. I'm wondering about a maximum. There is nothing in there to address a maximum for those for that non-residential building. So I would like to have some verbiage put in there regarding a maximum limit. Minimum is fine, but maximum is another open-ended issue. I think my 3 minutes might be about up. I thank you for your time. Mr. Summers and Mr. Kavanaugh suggest, and we will certainly try to have a meeting with your traffic engineer to address some of these traffic problems. So we will go forth with that plan. But other than that, why, those are our main issues. And thank you for your time. Are there any questions?
Mr. Chumley, thank you very much for coming down. We really appreciate that.
Thank you, Mr. Smith. Thank you.
Appreciate it. I'm going to go ahead and close the public hearing. Or do you have something to say?
Any comment as far as the public
hearing? Okay. Then
probably the same.
During the public hearing. Okay, we'll go ahead. Councilmember Summers.
Okay. As far as the public meeting, Mr. Gilbert, I have a specific question. I think it's probably the same one that was raised. On your presentation, you mentioned as part of the prohibited uses, massage parlors were prohibited.
Correct.
And I don't see that in the language. Do we? I know we've been wordsmithing this even today, so did that get oopsed out, and can we add that back in?
That must be a typo error, because massage parlors have always been a prohibited use. Okay. We've understood that. I'll reiterate that on the record, that is the intent.
Okay, so as the final document comes forward and it says massage partners, you fully expect that will be there?
Correct. You need to massage the documents a bit.
We should do that.
That was good. Thank you.
Okay. Councilmember Kavanaugh? That was your question. Okay. Councilmember Higgins?
Can you tell us what the overall percentage of high-density homes will be? You said 30 was the max. Do you know when you add in your other parcel together?
When you say homes, there will be no single-family
right.
homes. But the multifamily will be in the vicinity of 20 units per acre, approximately. And that will apply, I think, to both parcels, this one and the one that you will hear about shortly.
So the overall percentage, you said there would not be more than 30% high density?
No, the current multifamily residential general plan mm-hmm. restricts the area to 30% high density. That's correct.
Correct. So how many will we have when we are done building the...
I don't know that I've figured out the exact percentage of land area. It will be slightly more on our project. I can't comment on the other. I think we're maybe 7% higher in land area on our project than what would be permitted under the existing multifamily residential.
So when you looked at it for the whole project, including your project and the mm-hmm. your north... east, we don't know what that number is for an overall percentage?
No.
Because isn't that what we're doing?
If I may.
Yes, please.
Overall, the two projects together will end up with about 50% multifamily for the entire area compared to...
Great. Thank you.
That's allowable. I mean, what gets built is governed by the realities of the market and construction and things like that.
And
there are some natural limits on what goes
on. And the site plan that we have to bring back.
The site plan we get approved. We get another look at it when the site plan comes through.
Correct.
Councilmember Higgins.
But this is why we have the general plan amendment, correct? Because the general plan is limited to 30% high density. And now, after this project's approved, it could go up to 50.
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, that's correct. The current general plan designation for the entire property is the mixed-use residential, which allows a maximum of 30% of it to be residential. When, if both of the general plan amendments are approved, you'll have approximately half of the property now with a general plan designation of high density residential.
Okay.
Any other questions, comments? Okay.
I'm sorry, Mayor, just one more question.
Ahead.
I didn't understand what road the last speaker was talking about that ends up cutting through the neighborhood and dumps into your neighborhood.
That's Haas Road, I think.
Oh,
that
she
they
said
were
Farnsworth.
Well, no, yeah,
so I couldn't
think
find Farnsworth on the map.
Yeah. Farnsworth Drive.
Oh, okay.
It's a quarter or a half mile to the west.
That would be
west. It flows through from Guadalupe up to Baseline.
Correct.
Okay. Haas Road will not go through.
Haas Road does not go through. It goes through the middle of our project and dead ends in our project as it just before it hits the freeway.
So this other road is just like a half a mile down the street?
Correct.
Okay. And the traffic engineer is going to look to see if a light's required or that type of...
Well, in fact, I can... Maybe I'm going beyond what you want me to, Councilman Higgins, but we have met every requirement of your traffic engineering department, and they have asked us to put a light at Haas and Baseline. They have also asked us to put some decel lanes and some turn lanes, and we will do that as part of the project.
Great. Okay. Thank you.
Okay. Any other comments or questions as part of the public hearing? Any other requests to speak?
No additional requests, Mayor.
Okay. There being none, declare the public hearing closed. We'll now move on to items 8B, 8C, and 8D. 8B is the GP Minor 09-03, which is approximately 54 plus or minus acres, located west of the Loop 202 and North Baseline Road. Item 8C is approving and authorizing the city manager to execute the development agreement related to this property. And item 8D is to take action on the ordinance introduced at a previous council meeting for Z08-47, which is the zoning as described in Mr. Gilbert's presentation for the same property. Councilmember Summers.
Thank you, Mayor. I'll try to be brief. That's not going to happen. This project has been going on for a better part of 3 years, really. I saw the first iteration come forward, and it has morphed several times. There are challenges to the site. One of the challenges, probably one of the most difficult challenges for me, has been the fact that the general plan calls for 30% mixed-use residential, and we have two separate owners of this parcel. Also challenged are the fact that it has very limited access due to the freeway interchange being here. So there are certainly better issues. I've paid particularly close attention to this development over the last 3 years, and especially over the last, 12 or 18 months now, Paul? Because the area nearby, really next door, has been is one of the older communities in District 6, built circa 1960s, 1970s out, existed well before the freeway did, and it's had some challenges. Has a lot of rental properties, individual homes. It's been fairly neglected. It has they lacked for a long time some cohesiveness. I say they lacked as in past tense because over the past 3 years we have made incredible progress together in this neighborhood. All of my neighborhood Building Strong Neighborhood Initiative projects have been in about 1 square mile around here on both the north and south side of the US 60. There have been an increase in neighborhood participation. There have been endless cleanup projects, volunteer efforts, and we are seeing a resurgence in a pride of ownership, or at least those who rent, at least trying to take care of their properties. Now, that doesn't mean everybody's behaving, but it has improved over what it was even a few years ago. And what happens on this site, this is really the last developable piece of property along Baseline Road, US 60, between, we'll say, Power and the 202. It's the last piece, and it directly impacts what happens in these neighborhoods. And so I've paid particular attention because the neighborhood has been working very hard to improve itself. And what happens on this site, the quality of this project, positive or negative, will impact that neighborhood. But not only that, one's Sunland Village East, who is well represented here today, is also impacted because they're across the street, and we have high-quality homes, custom homes in some cases, so they're very interested in what happens on this site. It was extremely important as part of, I'm going to use the term, Dave, build a better Mesa. See if we can get the mayor to say it. Building a better Mesa, that this piece be of the highest possible quality. In this time that, I got to tell you, this is probably the thickest development agreement I've ever seen in my whole 3.5 years on this council, and it took a long time to put through. This didn't exist when you came through the first time. There were no design guidelines at all when this came through the first time. It was a wing and a prayer, and that was just absolutely unacceptable to me to hope for the best on this site. Mr. Gilbert and I went around a few times, and we've come up with what I think are some very good design guidelines and an excellent development agreement that will ensure a high-quality project. Some of the things I noticed with the multifamily has been a concern. And you can go low quality or you can go high quality. And what I presented to Mr. Gilbert was a list of amenities, not just things I made up, but Mark Taylor Properties. Mayor, I don't know if you're familiar with Mark Taylor. Mark Taylor does the high-end apartment complexes. He's done many in Gilbert and Tempe as well. And I said, this is what I want. And it took about 3 rounds, and I won, Paul. So they are in here. It's also a gated community, which wasn't going to be before, which adds to a quality. Adds 15% space is an increase in the open space. I felt that was important as a buffer. You have the freeway there, which gives me some concern, and we needed more open space to draw people. Why would people want to live there? You have to have more open space and more amenities, and that's included in this as well. I also wanted to make sure that we had well-behaved people, folks over there, and thanks to our tenants, I should say. Well-behaved tenants. Not me. I'm not well-behaved. But the crime prevention through environmental design, SEPTED, is something that came through, is coming through our zoning program. It is a new concept brought on by the police department that brings really crime prevention focus from the time we design it and move up. So how you design buildings, how you light the buildings, how they're oriented, all that's in here. We've loosened it up a little bit, as I mentioned downstairs, that all the design elements of SEPTED are included in here. But also, since we're still working on this program, the SEPTED standards included but not limited to means that anything in the future that's added as we solidify the zoning will be included in these as well. Also, the crime-free multi-housing program will ensure that whatever residential is included in here, that they must participate in it as part of this development agreement. I think that will help tremendously with crime prevention. High-quality design is in here. The prohibited uses, now that we've added the massage parlors, have to be added into this one. I put together three slides, if you would indulge me, please. Do we have those? And Paul, Mr. Gilbert, perhaps I should say, I want you to take a look at these because they're a challenge for you and your client. What we put together was a nice development standard. Yeah, perfect. And there are going to be three slides that I want to pay particular attention to. This first slide is some of the retail that exists within 2 miles of this project. I didn't go citywide. I just went within 2 miles. I thought that was fair. You notice it's vacant. We have, anecdotally, as I drive around, because I drive this area frequently, there is a lot of vacant property over here that gives me some concern. And this is something that has to be dealt with. Baseline Crossing is one of these. 34 out of 35 of those spaces are open. We have Sossaman Square, 9 out of 15. Odyssey Medical, No, I'm going to save that. That's on the next page. I apologize. Guadalupe, if you look at the on the right-hand side, you see a strip mall. It's vacant. You have a tiny, tiny, tiny little picture in there of a Walmart. A Walmart is a killer anchor for any development of retail. This particular Walmart, unfortunately, is anchored to a strip mall that's just 1 mile away from this development that 18 of the 20 spaces are vacant. But look at the design. They're nice. They're not bad at all. We go to the second one. Oh, by the way, on the bottom here, I want to point out that's an auto service center that's vacant as well. Baseline Crossing, upper left side, that's all but vacant. I think they have 30 units. One is occupied currently. On the bottom is something that concerned me as well. The bottom left is office space that was developing out. This is Odyssey Medical. 4 out of 5 suites are open, and I'm being generous because the one suite is being renovated for space right now, so we're anticipating somebody moving in here. This is nice Class B. The one on the bottom right is the back of that building, and you notice that you have a lot of metal studs out there. Also rotting in the sun are some wood frame trusses, and it's pretty clear they've been sitting out for some time. By the way, Jack, I think code enforcement needs to pay a visit to this particular one now that I'm thinking about it. I want to, at all cost, make sure that this doesn't happen on this site. Back to the one on the left, unfortunately, it's too small. You can't read it. The sign above says free rent. So if anybody needs some office space, they're providing some free rent here. I also have some concern about the apartments, and this is why I touched on the Mark Taylor component. This is Lakeview Apartments, and it's called Lakeview because it's in Superstition Springs, about 2 miles up the road, and it has a series of lakes that you can walk around. So if I'm going to rent, I want to look for amenities. I have a lake I can run around. I have a movie theater across the street. I have some high quality retail across, and it's walking distance from the East Mesa Transit Center. I get more than 3 minutes, Dave. He wants me to be pithy. It's not going to happen.
Come on, Scott, wrap it up.
Let me wrap it up here. It's not just that. I pulled some numbers as well, and I'm going to challenge you here, Paul. I know you're upset, but retail citywide, the vacancy rate is 12.7. Retail within 2 miles of this is 15.8 vacant. Citywide office vacancy is 20.6. Within 2 miles is 27.4. Let's throw the last slide up, and this is the challenge, Paul. We have a great development agreement, but there's a lot of vacant retail, and it looks pretty. And there's a lot of vacant office, and it looks pretty. And some of it has free rent. We have some 15% vacancy in the apartment complexes, and the one I brought up has a lake to run around. Your client has put together and agreed to a development agreement that I think has a high-quality design standard. But what's important, if this is going to work, and he's going to find any funding, and this is going to actually get built, is he's going to have to create a sense of place where people want to belong. Dana Park, people love that development. I hate to bring this up because Dave Richens asked me not to, but that bottom left one is Tempe Marketplace. That has difficult access too, but they created a sense of place that people are drawn to. We had a fantastic meeting in Sunland Village East. We had 200 people show up. They liked the design overall. Are we all in agreement with everything? No. Do we like every piece? Perhaps not. But those 200 people, more than just showing up to this meeting to look at it, are his customers. And if this has just the same old strip mall design as these other buildings, if it has just a series of regular old a tire shop, which is a mile up the road, if it just has an auto repair shop, which I just showed you a picture of an abandoned one, it's not going to work. It is absolutely going to fail, and the market's going to take care of that pretty quick because I think the bank isn't going to fund this. I challenge you, and I challenge your client,
to build something better. He's got a lot of issues to work through on this site because of limited access, and the only way this is going to fly is if we bring in something better, not just with these design standards where they're good, but kick it up. And we have plenty of opportunities to review that over time. The agreement also calls for more public meetings to be held in Sunland Village East, so this won't be the last time this is seen. So with that, Mayor, I'll open it to comment, but I'm going to support you on this. I'm not completely happy with the project, but I think what we have developed is a good start. It's going to ensure quality where none existed before, but if you do the same old thing, it's going to fail. Thank you, Mayor.
Is that a motion I heard, or is that... We have a motion by Councilmember Summers, a second by the Vice Mayor on items 8B, 8C, and 8D. Councilmember Higgins.
I have one more question. It's regarding the SEPTED. Is that going to apply to each individual business that comes in to buy or build or whatever a building?
Thank you, Mayor, Councilwoman Higgins. My understanding is the SEPTED just applies to the multifamily parcel.
Is that right? I thought it would apply to the whole site.
Mayor, Councilmember Higgins, as they are written in the development agreement, it is written in the multifamily section. However, there are many of those SEPTED principles that are already incorporated into our general design standards with the city, and they will apply to the development as it comes in. And we typically get some review and feedback from that perspective with developments as they come in. So even though it's not specifically addressed, I think it will be covered to the degree it can be.
So when people come in for a building permit, they're going to have to apply, or what's the word? Measure up to all our new standards, which will include SEPTED.
All standards at the time, yes.
Okay, thank you.
Understood. Thank you.
Okay. I see where the clock stopped at 2 minutes and 55 seconds, Councilmember Summers, so you have 5 seconds of Summers time to go through.
Sure wasn't 2 hours, 55 minutes. Really quickly, Mayor, on the issue of traffic. We have some traffic issues to resolve, certainly in that area. I'm working with Pat, Sunland Village East. Hopefully, we're going to bring out Dan Clevenger, the transportation director, in September, October, to deal with transit issues as a whole in that community, because I want to have the winter visitors involved in that process as well. Certainly, there's going to be more traffic, and we talked about that. One of the issues in this development agreement as well is that they will put in a left-hand turn lane, a right-hand turn lane, a deceleration lane. It will be a signaled intersection with turns. And also, I got thrown in here, there's no bus route, unfortunately, out in this area, which is a sore spot for me. But one day there will be, and you're going to do a bus pullout. So if anybody's been down a two-lane road and behind a bus, you know how frustrating that gets. So a lot of the traffic issues, I think, along Baseline and part of Hawes, will be ameliorated with that. There are issues along Baseline and Hawes that go beyond this. If there are traffic pattern issues and talking, unfortunately, Dan Clevenger was not here tonight, but in speaking with him earlier, that any traffic issues will be the problem of private property in turns in and out of there, but that's what the two access lanes are for. So yes, we do have some traffic issues out there, and we're still working on those as well.
Thank you. No, my clock says 2 minutes 59. Remember, even a broken clock is right 2 times a day. Councilmember Higgins.
Mayor, I have one more question. We're voting to approve a minor general plan amendment, and typically you give me your spiel of why we should be approving a general plan amendment on this, and I never heard the real reason of the need to go to the 50% overall for high density, which is why we need the general plan amendment. Usually there's like a really good solid reason. Share, please.
Well, first of all, you're taking two projects and lining them up together. We are very close to staying within the 30% on our project. So we needed the general plan amendment to give us more flexibility. Frankly, the major reason for the general plan amendment on our parcel was not the multifamily, because we only picked up about 7% more. But the major reason we wanted the general plan amendment is that the old general plan amendment restricted us to more office, flex space, manufacturing, industrial, and we just didn't think there was a market for that. And I might add parenthetically that one of the things that was a very strong message from your planning commission to us was you're trying to put a round circle in a square peg, this general plan designation as it now exists doesn't fit. And that was their advice to us to come in and do the general plan amendment. So that's why.
Sure. And I'd like to clarify one thing, because I hope we're not making general plan amendments because the market doesn't exist. But, and I think we're just talking semantics here. The potential for that market to exist, as I understand it, you don't believe exists either.
Correct.
So yeah. Whether it exists today yeah. or whether it exists in the future is a different thing. Because there's a lot of things where the market doesn't exist today. But going forward, you know, if we look at a piece of property, say, you know, 5 years from now, 10 years from now, 15 years from now, is that property conducive to that kind of development? I think what you're saying is when you look at this property, it's just not. And
exactly.
You're saying that the planning staff agreed yeah. with that.
That's a good correction to what I was saying, because this freeway doesn't give us access. Yeah. It doesn't give us visibility.
For all the reasons you stated.
That's right.
Councilmember Richens?
I think that this project really points out some of the deficiencies in our zoning code and general plan designations, because we plan the site for mixed use, and if you look at the site, it's a mix of uses. But we have to change the general plan in order to get the mix of uses. That's just wrong on so many levels. And so I think we need to make sure that as we go through, and we're working hard, and kudos to our planning staff working hard to work on our zoning code update, but we need to make sure we capture that. So we thought we had the general plan right, and I think we do, but I think we over-regulated that mixed-use category to cause this minor general plan amendment to have to happen.
Yeah, it's a general plan that has some very specific guidelines that sort of box you in many cases.
That's exactly right.
Okay. Mm-hmm. Any other questions or comments? Councilmember Kavanaugh.
Thank you, Mayor. This is just a general comment on the case. As you know, originally I didn't support this case last fall and earlier, but I have to admit and concede that a tremendous amount of work has been done by Mr. Gilbert and his associates and the community and council member Summers to, I think, create a template that offers a much greater chance of a sustainable project and a good connection between the different uses of the project. I also appreciate very much the comments that we have heard tonight. Beverly often came to our council meetings when I served on council previously, and she always has wise counsel and caution for us on issues, and her comments are very thoughtful and help us to, I think, arrive at better decisions. I have to confess that when we were children, Pat Chumley and I worked together at the Arizona Legislature, and for many years she worked there and knows how to work with elected officials and policy issues, and I think is in an excellent position to work with the city and the developer on other issues that sequence out from the case here. But I think that the development agreement has contain many items that increase the potential for sustainability of a project. I think the design guidelines that have been developed are really outstanding, and I think have done a very good job on that. And so, Mayor, I'll be willing to support this project at this time.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions or comments? Councilmember Richens.
I just want to throw one.
By the way, your 3 minutes are almost up. So
noted. I did give Summers a heaping of gas as he droned on for a while, but I do want to thank him for his leadership on this issue and getting the neighbors out there and having a good, robust neighborhood meeting to discuss this issue. So good job, Councilmember Summers.
Okay. I'd just like to say one quick thing and to echo what has been said here, and also to expand maybe a little bit on what Councilmember Higgins was asking. You know, I think this is a good case for this council to use, because it's a difficult piece of property. You know, you think because it's by a freeway that, boy, everything's open, but no, it forecloses a lot of possibilities. And I think we've taken a very difficult piece of property and done which I think that we as a council have set out to do, and that is to raise the bar, to build a better mesa. Thank you, Vice Mayor. And yet to come up with something where someone can succeed. And I think that, Councilmember Higgins, to answer your question, why do we have to do this? We don't have to do this. We literally, and the landowners could have left the original general plan designation in place. And I think what we would have been left with as a city is would have been a subpar development that did not raise the bar in anything. And when you sit down and talk about how you're going to enable a landowner, developer to succeed with their investment while also helping the community succeed, there's trade-offs and there's givebacks and there's rewards and I don't want to use the word incentives because it's taken the wrong way. But in a sense, what we've done here is that we've allowed certain minor changes in order to get the high development standards, in order to get the direction, in order to get a development agreement that's, an inch and a half thick or however it is. And I think that's a good trade-off. I think it's good when we can come in here, we can raise those design standards, we can create, and we can reward those developers who are willing to go beyond what the basic requirements are. Because I think that in the long run, the market's going to decide what's built here and when it's built. That's a law of nature. And I think a lot of things you mentioned, you presented, Councilmember Summers, are the market basically taking over, and it's no surprise that we have a lot of empty properties around here. But we have to look at the next 5, 10, 15, 20 years. What is this going to be like 20 years from now? And I feel confident that with the new design standards, the higher design standards, and Mr. Wesley, the compliment you got from Mr. Gilbert as far as even imposing or asking for more and higher standards, if I had any money, I'd give you a raise. Unfortunately.
How about a new bow tie?
A new bow tie. I like the one he's got. So I just think this is a good example. I think we're going to see this played out in other scenarios. And to echo what Councilmember Richens said, across the Gateway area. And I think one of the things we did, one of the first actions of this council was to change the Gateway strategic plan to offer more flexibility in land uses, but that wasn't a unilateral giveaway. It's a two-way street, and I think we made it very clear that that flexibility had to be coupled with higher standards, had to be coupled with a commitment to develop world-class properties. And the idea that flexibility and higher standards can go together, I think, is a great recipe for good projects and projects that will enhance the area. And sure, nothing's perfect, but I believe that this will give you the blueprint to have a project and have a development that will truly enhance the area long term as the market allows you to move forward. So I'm going to be supporting this also for those reasons. And please vote.
Yes.
I believe we did. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative in items 8B, 8C, and 8D with the massage parlor language in there is approved. We'll go on now to item 9. Open the public hearing on item 9A, GP Minor 08-11. Mr. Lake, I don't know if you'd like to say something on this or if you'd like to maybe just explain why this is coming forward at this time.
You got her this money. Sure. Mayor, council members, let me just be pithy here. Sean Lake, 1744 South Val Vista Drive in Mesa. Our offices are located in Mesa. We are proud of that. Here on behalf of the property owner, let me point out the property that we're here representing is the carve-out up on the corner. As you can see, it is a very difficult piece of property to develop. We don't have frontage on Baseline. We back up to two freeways. There's a lot of issues that I came prepared to discuss that were discussed previously, so I'm not going to go through those. I'm happy to bring them out in my PowerPoint presentation if you want to discuss them, but I will just say ditto to a lot of the same issues. We have the same challenges. But let me go on the record on a couple of things. First off, we do agree to incorporation of the SEPTED and the crime-free multi-housing program for this project, on the record. We do agree to incorporate all of the multifamily components of the development agreement and the design standards for the previous project. The goal at the end of the day is to make sure that this overall property is developed as one cohesive look and feel and similar design. And so we will incorporate all of those and agree to all of those standards in our project as well. We also agreed to incorporate specifically on the multifamily, the outdoor amenities that was brought up at the last minute, incorporation of those outdoor amenities, and the pedestrian connections that were very strongly discussed in the development agreement and the design standards. And so we agree to all those issues and would incorporate those and put those on the record. So with that, I would encourage your support of this case. Staff is recommending approval, and the Planning Commission recommended unanimous approval as well.
And you mentioned something that I hope you continue forward, because I think the potential in this project is that it truly is a mixed-use and almost self-contained project, meaning that the multifamily really feeds the activity in the front and will play off of that, both the office and the retail and the other things. I hope that as your property develops that you have that connectivity so that it's almost seamless, that there's true connectivity, walkability, everything, so that as you drive down Hawes, you'll think that you're in part of the same community and not some walled off, fenced off, because I know that there's a real temptation to do that, but I hope we get there long term. So,
Mayor, if you had asked me if we could do that a year and a half ago with the contention of these property owners, I think it would have been challenging. But I think with the work that we've done with staff and with the property owners, I think there is a good relationship now between these two property owners so that will occur. Thank you.
Okay. Ms. Carter, do we have any requests to speak from the public on this item?
No requests, Mayor.
Any questions or comments for Mr. Lake? Councilmember Summers.
Thank you for agreeing to those. Like, you really have a choice. Zoning is not done, so there will be public input on the zoning case. The rights are not vested yet, and so that we don't have the same issues as before with public meeting notice, please make sure to notify when we go through zoning and in all the design. Sunland Village East across the street, they got missed on this last one, and obviously they're very interested. On that note, by the way, with those 200 attendees or so, again, I really appreciate their input. I think that we got many additional details worked out kind of last minute, but we got them worked out as well. And I think it supports an idea that the mayor had, that there's no one Mesa. There's one city, but there are a lot of different villages in Mesa. And so hopefully we'll pursue that, some kind of a village planning system, so that when these cases come forward, it's really down in the neighborhood level, because I think that's the best place for this to be for a city of 500,000 people, and I support the mayor on that in the future. Thank you.
Thank you. There's no other questions. I'll declare the public hearing portion of this closed. We'll now consider item 9B. We have a motion on the floor from Councilmember Richens to approve 9B, a second from Councilmember Kavanaugh. Is there any discussion on 9B? Please vote. Oh, hold it. Councilmember Finley.
Mayor, I was just going to a quick comment. Support this process, support this particular case. Personal philosophy is I look at the plan and 2025 plan amendment as an evolving living process. I've done that since planning and zoning all the way through. We had a snapshot in time, factors change, and I'm very supportive of taking a look at and support the mayor's comments on future market activities. So thank you very much. Thanks, Mayor.
Thank you, Councilmember. Any other comments? Please vote. The vote is 7-0 in the affirmative. Item 9B is approved. The next item on the agenda are items from citizens present. Any requests to speak, Ms. Crocker?
No requests, Mayor.
Being none, I have a motion to adjourn from the Vice Mayor, second Councilmember Summers. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
We are adjourned. Thank you very much.